the table, the red one, in the room one, and throw the other one away. I'm going to give 3 more minutes. In the meantime, there are a cup of coffee, etc. on the table. Absolutely no. You're not going to throw it out accusations. Because if you've done that, you're still stagnant. You are where you are. You must go forward. That was the approach from the 9th of February when we had our first engagement with the IFC, the Interministerial Committee, as the minister, leading this intervention under the leadership of the Minister of Finance. After that, we went to the Bolshoi, if I'm correct, it was in March 2012, and we engaged four times with them. Our last report on the members was 86 on the 18th of November 2020. It's very crucial that you go to the pages 5971, 5971, 5973. What were our findings? What were our recommendations? They are not going to repeat. We have to read it last night. What did we say in November 2013? Our recommendation to the National Executive was to lift the intervention on the 31st of March 2014. But this intervention must be sustainable. There must be a transitional period to hand over, like a relay hand over the stick. Carry on. This province can't be in the intervention or in ICU forever. It's not realistic. You'll see out of the presentation, you'll see out of all our reports, there were progress. I think it's the first province in the country, and I haven't seen the latest treasury report from the nine provinces, but this province has 4 billion rand cash surplus in the bank. And they were technically bankrupt in December 2020. That is progress. Something happened there. Something happens in education, health, the transport, those are not the issues. That's our approach today, to zoom into those presentations to get the latest picture. But except for this meeting, and the meeting we will have with the ACPT, Anti-Corruption Task Team, and the Department of Public Service Administration, we will have to go to pay a visit to the Limpopo to see what is happening. Because only 6 out of more than 2,000 every teacher is not placed. Only 6. I think there's 11 also from my controller schools in North Carolina. So that is the agenda. You've got the program of the members. It's my view that we don't have to sit here until 8 o'clock. We can be better right to the point. The Honourable Minister for Finance is at this moment in the Cabinet Committee. And after that meeting, he will join us, and we will give the Honourable Minister the opportunity to make his input. For the Premier, Dr. McKay, I'm going to ask you to address the committee, and I'm going to give you 30 minutes to do that.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson of the Select Committee. Honourable members of the National Council of Provinces, MEC from the Bobo present here, Acting Director General and HOD, Limpopo Section 100B Administration, led by Mr. Moneson. It is once more a great honor and privilege for us to appear before this committee to give a detailed account and progress made on the implementation of Section 100 of the Constitution in Limpopo. It is indeed befitting in that the NDOP, through its Select Committee on Finance, has played a pivotal oversight role in ensuring compliance and successful implementation of the intervention in our province. In response, Honourable Chairperson, in response to the failure of the then Provincial Executive Committee to execute a legal and constitutional responsibility, the National Executive invoked Section 101G of the Constitution in the Limpopo. 5 departments, that is education, health, the provincial treasury, public works, roads and transport, were placed under administration. This corrective measure was put in place on the 6th of December 2011, and a team of administrators of that were subsequently deployed to the province. Underpinning the mandate of this team was to ensure that the provincial government exercised proper financial management and continued to deliver quality services to the 11 people of the Mpopo. Chairperson and honorable members, there is no doubt whatsoever in my mind that corporate government in that part of the country was on the side of collapse. The province has accumulated an unauthorized expenditure of 2.7 billion rand. It has started 2011-2012 financial year with an overdraft of 1.7 billion, and there was insufficient cash management across the province. Or insufficient cash management processes in the province. Limpopo was running out of cash and likely to fail to pay its employees, as well as honoring the payments of suppliers and providers of goods and services. Those in the corridors of power in that province have seemingly forgotten that the money that they were managing belongs to the taxpayer and that it must be used for nothing else but the improvement of the conditions of living of the people of that province. Honorable members, nevertheless, we are proud that we meet here today. Limpopo is a much better place than it was before and in December 2011. Thanks to the oversight work of this committee of the NPOT and the day-to-day monitoring by the Interministerial Committee of Cabinet, there is no doubt that there is a significant improvement in the province, and the corporate governance of the province, especially the financial management system, have been improved. The more efficient electronic accounting system has been put in place in the provincial treasury. The provincial supply chain management policy has been reviewed. We are delighted that the financial position regarding cash solvency and budget has been stabilized. The provincial treasury functional structure has since been reviewed and aligned to the national treasury general structure. The provincial treasury has now gained even a greater control over the movement of transfer funds than ever before. And the Minister of National Treasury has said, "This, and I quote, these financial controls are among the most stringent of any province in the country." A detailed report to be presented yesterday will clearly show how we have strengthened the expenditure and cash management control, and thereby significantly reducing the 2.7 billion accumulated unauthorized expenditure that we had. This has also helped us to eliminate the 1.7 billion overdraft. In the same way, we have developed and begun implementing an innovative procurement and delivery strategy for the learning and teaching support material, which has always been a problem as well. It is also worth mentioning that we have developed a provincial infrastructure development sub-concept to help ensure and ensure a coordinated and integrated planning in the development and delivery of infrastructure in the province. This is notwithstanding the observation of the National Ministry of Treasury that 2013-2014 financial year saw a marked improvement in infrastructure planning, delivery, and spending in the book. Over and above this financial management improvement measure, we have taken firm action against the official form to have contravened the law. And criminal and internal disciplinary processes are either underway or finalized. As the new administration in Limpopo, we are resolute and unwavering in our sense of commitment to fight fraud and corruption in all its ramified forms. chairperson and honorable member. Nevertheless, the objective reality is that there were also challenges and unintended consequences experienced in the course of implementation of Section 100 in the book. These issues must not be limited to material under expenditure due to the verification of invoices and the realignment of procurement process. E.g., provincial rules mentioned in the new assessment plan. Negative economic impact on SMMEs is a problem due to the initial study of payment to suppliers and lack of clear guidelines on the efficiency between Section 100D, Land Funding Department Administration, and the accounting officers, often resulting in unnecessary confusion over accounting. A day in finalizing the disciplinary meeting where some of those were unintended consequences. It is therefore against this background citizen that as a matter of maintaining the gains made since the day challenges, we have appointed a team of accounting officers led by the HOD of Provincial Secretary to continue monitoring and ensure implementation of remedies in respect of all identified systemic challenges that are familiar to area of. We firmly believe that we have turned the corner and are ready to full executive and accounting responsibility of all departments and administration. A recent capacity in the COPO and a clear plan are in place for the problem to complete the remaining tasks and more importantly, deal with the systematic challenges and risks identified. In Limpopo today, Honorable Chairperson, Limpopo today is better than yesterday. And surely, tomorrow in Limpopo shall be better than today. I thank you.
Thank you to the Honorable Premier.
My apologies, Honorable Chairperson. Yes. Next to me, Honorable Chairperson, is not the first lady. Is the NDC for education, Honorable Chairperson. On my left hand side is the MEC for Treasury. Maybe you can just wave, Honorable Pal. Honorable Rudolf Pal. Next to him is the MEC for Health, Honorable Ismail Hassan. Yes, behind me is the MEC for Roads, Transport and Infrastructure. Honorable Gerindo. Oh, His Excellency, Honorable Ambassador Gerindo. And next to Ambassador Gerindo is the Honorable MEC for Coxman, Honorable Makrube. On the other side, you could just wave Mukawa. Is Honorable Makuda. Mukaba is the MEC for Transport Safety and Lifestyle. Safety, Security and Lifestyle, my apologies.
Thank you, Lord Premier, and the Chair of Committee. Can we have the slide, please, if we can? Thank you, Lord Premier. Honourable members, you might note your question. We will come to question time. We will take now the briefing by the Chief Administrator, Mr. Tom, who is also the Administrator for the Provincial Treasury in Limpopo, but on the members at the meeting, we recognize the presence of Honorable Suka, who is the Chair of Economic Development and Business Development. Welcome, Honorable Suka. We mentioned you, but thanks for joining us. Mr. Kong, just again, for those members that joined us now, please give this topic. property, a copy, the balloon copy of Treasury presentation. The other one you can throw away that you received yesterday in your package. Mr. Tom, I'm going to give you 30 minutes.
Thank you very much, Mr. President. The members of the committees present here, the Honorable Premier, and the members of the Athletic Council, and the colleagues, I wanted to reiterate the point of our position in terms of the area version, right, that is faced by the second one. Right, because it has got some technical and working corrections that need to be made. Now, with your permission, Mr. President, I want to take that position is going. Now, in the presentation, right, that I want to make, I've got an outline. I'll talk to briefly the introduction. I'll give the context of the reviews that have happened today. I'll also recap what the select committee recommendations and observations relate area on. And I'll also talk to the high level of the financial position and service delivery within the province. I'll talk to the achievements and challenges that have been led, and talk to the way forward in the conclusion. This presentation is actually designed to assist the committee with the review of the intervention. And this is coupled with the progress of reviews that were done already by the Interministerial Committee, and also it was done by the Cabinet. There is also a detailed progress on the intervention and the challenges and the way forward that still needs to happen within the various five departments. There is a memorandum of understanding that has been drafted and which was designed by both the IMC and the Premier. And it has provisions for transitioning from 101B to 101A. And also it outlines the 14 requirements. If I look at the reviews that happened, you remember the person that last year in August, the cabinet announced that the administration team, they should actually allow the then new premier and the executive to take over from the intervention. And again, in October, the select committee did visit the COPO, and progress and challenges were actually outlined on the 700. And it actually did look at the point that there were still sustainability projects at that stage that they were still at the early stage that needed to be implemented. Now, recently, in fact, around about March, the cabinet met again after he said that he would actually allow the new executive to take over. They then extended the intervention for a period up and indicated that it would be reviewed in June of this year. And that review did take place. And recently, on the 9th, to be exact, of July, this month, the cabinet resolved that there should be a transitioning process that initiated changing from 1B to 1A, and a memorandum of understanding signed with the Premier. So that the remaining issues should be dealt with before the intervention is completely withdrawn. Now, if I could quickly just remind the select committee that At the time, in October 2013, when the report said, he actually looked at that, there was a full process that was made by the Department of Public Service and Administration in facilitating the dealing of the disciplinary, in dealing with the disciplinary cases. He also looked at that the five departments did not actually comply with the legislation, with the public, with the CFMA. And also looking at that, there was a need for sustainability to make sure that these problems that have been identified, they will not repeat again. We also looked at that there should be a process to track the disciplinary process. If I would just be with the high level on financial position of the focus. Chairperson, it is correct to say that the financial position in the province is strong. And indeed, at the end of last month, that is June, there was a cash surplus of about 4 billion. But of course, it's important to look at contrary to the allegations that usually get made, that this 4 billion is because of the non-payment of to suppliers. Right? That statement is not correct. Now, if you look at the number of unpaid invoices, the POPO has at June, you find that it has the lowest number of unpaid invoices. Invoices were actually being paid. And remember that when we started there was 1.1 billion outstanding invoices. Right? And that actually been reduced to about 18 million. Yes, indeed, the unauthorized expenditure, which has been the accumulation of irregularities that happened in the past, up to 2.7 billion. Indeed, it has been reduced to about 700 million. And we think that the province should be able to deal with those and correct that 600 million in the next 3 days. So one of the things like that is you would see is you no longer find that the reckless overspending that was happening in the department. When it comes to the service delivery, you'll find that when you have any such a thing, particularly with education, the budget of the compensation of employees was very problematic, unstable. It was actually making it difficult for the department to be able to deal with other delivery responsibilities. So the COE that I mentioned, actually comes to say that the COE of the Department of Education has been stabilized. You will not get the overspending. There is a headcount that was actually conducted. We actually asked the SSA to actually conduct a census, and that has actually been done. Now all what is needed is to take it forward, and it will be part of the questions to move forward. And once the challenge that the devil the province was the issue of temporary educators that have not been placed. Now, they actually addressed that problem. At some point, there were about 2,500 unpaid temporary teachers, which have actually, as the quality of the citizens, has been reduced to about 6 now, even that is because of some profiles that needed to be offered to be dealt with of those things. Now, if you look at the capital transfers on the Northern Standard, you will see that the Northern Standard, these are not free schools, who used to be funded at around about 65% of what is due. Now, we see that happens actually increased to about 90%. Yet, indeed, the earth, at the time, there were challenges. We all know about the challenges that were there around the textbook. But what the department can tell itself of is the fact that they do have a system that is actually covering a number of schools at this point in time, and the system that they have in place. The system that has different problems, but we believe that it is in the right track, that we continue in that manner. Now, but if you look at the Department of Health, Department of Health, you will see that the medicine is so clever. In the Department of Health, at some age, they were about 8%, right? Which therefore means that there will be medicine that will not be able to be supplied. Now, that was actually increased, now covering into about 28%. And of course, what then that do is that it actually also addressed the problem of the expiry of medication. Because at the stage when the intervention started, 11 million of expired medication were actually the order of the state. And then the budget now can actually be reduced to about 2.5 billion. Now, one of the pilots that have been put in place, right, and it's a pilot person that piloted at the regional and tertiary hospital, he took actually to deliver the medicine directly. Right. And that has actually been done to those two, to those pilots which hopefully in the future they will actually be able to run it out in all the hospitals. Now, but of course, one the other problem that was there was this issue of difficulty in the managing of the administration within the hospitals themselves. And then the department actually appointed about 37 CEOs, right, people who actually are competent in managing the administration. And also there were others that were actually, we find were a problem, right? You know how important boilers are in hospitals, right? Now, 19 hospitals were installed with new boilers, right? And also in 29 hospitals, there were 52 autoclaves that were actually installed. Now, that's the intent of the road construction, right? About 8 projects of roads were actually started and completed. Now, one of the positive that has actually happened there is the fact that there was a change of the then executive council. I think that it was done around about last year. In the new experiences that was actually put under the leadership of the current premier. Now, when it comes to the disciplinary cases, what has then happened with that? So, there is an external body, right, which is actually coordination, took over and coordinated that disciplinary cases. And then they started work with the Office of the Premier to be able to make sure that coordination is actually protected and to make sure so that there are the results. Now, for instance, you will see that if you visit with the officer, there are about 40 decisions that actually happened immediately after, handing off those disciplinary cases. Now, but of course, four cases that were similarly that in the cocktail, right, they were found not guilty, but of course we there is an appeal that has been made, but they actually to correct that because it's revealed that they do need to appeal in that particular case. If you take the Department of the Road and Transport, again there were actually four cases that actually happened. Yeah, this is there, I'm not going to teach the person. Now, in the Department of Health, again, there's been a difficulty with the case of the CFO there that actually took some time, and then we had to find the national mayor's house to appoint to take over and deal with that particular issue. And at this point in time, it's just after the protest, well, and then we talk about the treaties, this is what happened in there. Now, there are areas of concern that are still there, right, which we think that which are around the banking processes, which we believe that in the next phase, the project must actually be executed with that. And also, one of the challenges that are in the city department is the difficulty of getting competent staff within the CFO offices. That area, as I said, is a serious problem, and it's a matter that if the problem will actually be able to sustain, must be able to get to the place to fill that those positions with right people. Now, of course, we need to maintain the standard process as it has been put in place at this point in time. There are key projects that have been initiated. Like one, and like that, we think about problems about CFO. At this point in time, you find that there is a key audit that has actually been put to audit all the staff who are within the CFO offices in those five departments. And also within the Treasury itself, there is key audit that is happening there. And that needs actually to continue. And the other project that initiative that has been put in place is actually to take the top 500 contracts. Right? Because one of the problems in the past is the fact that the contracts themselves, right, were not managed. Right? At this point in time, there is a project which has actually isolated what are the key projects, what are the key contracts, important contracts that need to be managed and managed differently, and there is a system that is put in place there. Now, that issue needs to be continued. But when it comes to the records, remember one of the problems there was that it's the disappearing of the records. Right? And the intervention started there, you find that a lot of documents actually disappeared. Now, the staff is then put in place now after to make sure that there is a records management that is put in place, and some of the records that must then be archived. Now, there is a process on the Auditor General. As we all know, that Auditor General is completing this process now in July. And again, they will say that that process, particularly in the Department of Public Works, that process needs to continue what it will be completed next month. Now, one of the challenges is this issue of we need to focus on the litigations by third parties against the established. Now, perhaps I'll actually ask the HOD of the Treasury because to actually to see that through. Now, what he would do is he would actually look at the evidence of stability within the Treasury itself. Right? I'll actually ask him that.
Mr. Brett, welcome. Yes. Thank you. Other way for myself, you place the remember here. Please continue.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson, Honorable members of the committee, Honorable Premier, Honorable MECs, administrators, DTHCs, ladies and gentlemen. I'll just try and add some flesh to what Mr. Tom and the Premier alluded to. Talk to some of these slides. Some of the information is on those slides and we'll bring bypass that when we get there. But on the pension trend, we're looking at end of March, 31 March 2014. Overall spend for 13-14 was at 46.8 billion or 96.6% of our total available budget of 48.4 billion. Meaning an underspend of 1.6 billion or 3.4%. The prior underspending was at 95.4%, a slight increase of 1.2% against the 12-13 financial year. Due to the underspending in 13-14 was 9%, the underspending on conditional bonds, 13.85% of the 889 million against a budget of 6.4 billion. So what I'd really like to say at the bottom of the table is on our equal share, we just about spent everything, underspending at 1.8% or 754 million. But conditional grants, significant underspending of 889 million, and I think that the process that Mr. Tom spoke, also about the infrastructure hub and the conditions of the community that we need to improve in the province. Going through the economic classification at the bottom of the table on our CID spend, as Mr. Tom alluded to, we spend 99.7% of our budget, and this is the first year that we've actually remained within the budget, especially in education, where we continuously had an overspending and unauthorized expenditure in that department. So it clearly indicates that our budget for CIE is now under control and adequately funded. Then there is a concern on our goods and services. We underspent, or only spent 89.2% of the budget, underspending of 10.79%, or 10.8%. That also linked to our conditional grant underspending, which we had during the year. The province spent 4.3 billion on 90.6% of the total available budget on grants and subsidies. And then on capital expenditure, as alluded to, our infrastructure spend was low and only spent 86.3% or under spending of 13.7% of the total budget of 1.997 billion. So we have put in corrective measures to strengthen the infrastructure spend, but at least now we have eliminated the unauthorized expenditure, which I'll then talk to you on the next slide. As the members may be aware, one of the key reasons that the intervention came to the province was the 2.7 billion unauthorized expenditure. And we can confidently say that this has now been managed and funded. During 2012, the legislature passed two acts, Act number one of 2012 and then the second unauthorized act in the same year, in which they funded 2.218 billion of the unauthorized expenditure. However, as Treasury still had to put their money in place to eliminate the cash flow concerns in the province. There was also an amount of 446.4 million that was approved without funding in the department, mainly again in education. And this amount has also been substantially reduced over the last two financial years. In March 2013, the Provincial Revenue Fund funded 822 million of the 2.2 billion. And in the year that's just concluded, we fund an additional 728 million of that unauthorized expenditure. However, during the current financial year, or the last two financial years, we did incur unauthorized expenditure in 11 and 12 of 175 million, again in education. And in 12-13, an amount of 322 million, again education of 99 million, and health being 222 million. But I must stress that in that year we did not exceed the vote. It was in the main division of the vote. So we did not understand the budget in the province or within the main vote of the province, but within the main divisions in health and education. In the years just past, it's reduced to 15 million in education, and again we have not overspent the budget in education, as you'll note in the table that we just looked at. But again, within the main division, there were challenges of 15 million. So the unauthorized expenditure has definitely been controlled. The budget of the province and financial management has most certainly strengthened. So that will then leave us with 667 million that still needs to be funded of the original 2.7 billion, of 2.2 for the revenue fund. In the current financial year that we now have already made provision of 225 million to fund. But with the understanding that we incurred last year, we could actually increase that and fund quite substantially more of that, considering the tight conditions for all over in the province at the moment. Then the unauthorized without funding, we then left with 191 million. That's again been major in education, 181 million of the 191 million. And that has been budgeted for over the MTF. So we're pretty confident that by the end of this MTF that the total unauthorized expenditure will be funded and taken account of in the province. We can then look at the cash flow. I think that was the next major issue that brought the intervention to our province, was the 2.7 billion cash deficit that we, or 1.7 billion that we were facing in the province. This has again substantially been reduced, in fact eliminated in the province. But through the intervention, we put in very stringent cash flow management controls. At the Treasury, we issue allocation letters to each department at the beginning of the year or early in April what is received on the National Parliament Schedule, in which we indicate each province and each department exactly when they will get how much money from the provincial revenue fund, and based on that, CFOs then can plan their payment processes to ensure that they're within their cash allocation. We've also reduced the number of pay runs. You may be aware that the province that are paying twice a week or 8 times a month, that's been reduced substantially. For personnel, we only pay at the moment 4 times a month, the 15th of the month for the normal permanent staff, the 22nd of the month for the educators, the last Wednesday of the month for supplementary runs, that's the travel plan, and the end of the month those people on probation or contract. The bad payments have been reduced substantially to only twice a month, in which we only pay around about the 15th of the month, and near the end of the month, if it's not a weekend, we can pay before that weekend. So at the moment, there's only 2 bad runs that have been made, but before any run is made, we have previously received certification from HOD, signed off by them, to make sure that all the invoices are certified by the HOD and the CFO before we'll release the bad run on the stage. I think looking at that table, if I may just talk to you, this is 3 financial years that you're looking at there. On the top is 11 and 12, the middle is 12 and 13, and the bottom is 13 and 14. At the end of 11 and 12, we had a cash book balance that after the checks go through of 209 million, but we had accruals of 1.160 billion. Now, that if we paid all the invoices that were on our desk at the time, we would have then again had a negative cash position of just under 1,950,000,000. 2012-13, our cash position then improved to 1.698 billion. That's after all the checks and if that had been processed. We then had accruals of 633 million. If we paid all those invoices at the year end, we would have still had a positive cash position of 1.064 billion, so a substantial turnaround of just over 2 billion. In 2013-14, that improved again. If all our checks went through, we would have had a cash book balance of 2.5 billion, and we did have a cool of just over 1.042 billion, but even that, if we paid all those, we would have still had a cash positive position of 1.457 billion. So again, our cash position has improved, and our cash flow is definitely under control now. As you can see, I think the 1.7 billion has definitely been taken care of. So I may then just touch on some other smaller items around the credit specific. The review of the provincial credit functional structure, I think our premier has touched on that. That has been done in conjunction with national credit, and we have aligned the generic structure for provincial credits. The structure must not just be approved by the Minister of PPSA through the Chief Administrator. Putting up critical posts, we've told the head of the department, that's me now. Then we have 5 senior general manager posts which were advertised. 3 of those have already been filled. Either 2 are still vacant and in the process of filling those as we speak. 3 GM posts advertised, and those also now in the process of being filled. That's for our municipal finance, so rather municipalities. Our infrastructure general manager and the general manager to look at assets in the province. Then on the appointment of the CFO support team, a concern that has been raised by the chief administrator is that once they leave, does Treasury have the capacity to support the other 4 departments of intervention? And the minister has approved that we then look at a 5-man team, a very high-level team, to really support the provincial Treasury in those 4 or 5 departments to take that process forward and ensure sustainability of the intervention. Bringing our skills, as the administrator said, we are busy with the CFO's office skills assessment. That's assessing all the staff appeal to the CFO's office, not only the CFO, him or herself. We did originally attempt this exercise late last year. We then terminated our contract with that provider and we're not getting what we're looking for. And I can report to the committee that we did not pay the provider at all in the agreement with them. We've now got National Treasury that according to their firm and has been funded by the EU, and they started in July and the process is underway as we speak. As a province, we've also entered into the AAC Skill Development Program, which is accredited by the Society of Chartered Accountants. It's really for your lower level staff, entry level 3 and 4. And it's very on the ground practical training using our government systems. It's not a university qualification that you private sector systems and processes, and that's also exerted through the National Treasury. Then through the intervention, we also then put in what's in terms of project-based learning, again, on-the-ground practical management intervention, which that is now being concluded, and the graduation should happen in the next month of August. That also involves mentoring and coaching, which is also part of that program, and that has seen positive influence in our department. Then on the sustainability of the intervention projects, all the projects that Mr. Tom alluded to are in our annual performance plan in our department and also in our performance agreements that we sign to make sure that those do not fall through the cracks as the intervention then moves out. Then I think the critical issue in the province of saving a surplus budget in the past, whatever money came from the national fiscus was allocated to the provincial department. And that did not leave the province with any buffer or cushioning to be able to finance any shock that may occur or any unauthorized expenditure that may happen during that financial year. When the intervention came, the budget for 2012, we built in a surplus of 907 million. And this surplus is also there to fund the unauthorized expenditure that I just spoke to earlier. So that assisted us. Of the 907, we used 7.8. Actually fund the unauthorized expenditure last year. In 2013-14, we put a budget surplus of 640 million and had a pledge actually funded more than that through the understanding and adjustment budget process in the 2013-14 financial year. And as I said, we've now put together 235 million surplus in the 2014-15, of which 225 allocated to fund the unauthorized expenditure. So with your permission, I won't talk to slides 18 to 25. Those are really just narratives to the first three tables that I just teach you. If we can move to slide 26 on the CIE spend. What I want to say, the challenge in the paper is our spend, our percentage spend on compensation of employees. What we spoke to here is really the actual spending or percentage spending that is incurred by the province against the total budget spend. So it's not the budget, but what is actually spent. In terms of budget, we just run 70% of our budget is allocated to compensation of employees. But for 2013-14, what we actually spent was 73% of our budget spent to COE. This will result in crowding out the expenditure on civil delivery and infrastructure items. This item has been extensively discussed in the Executive Council. We do know that the national average of COE is sitting around 60% and that we as a province need to bring ourselves back. The challenge actually is also that as a province, our total budget is on the decline due to the census 2011 and our information that is submitted around health and education to the equal share formula. And as our budget gets smaller, our COE automatically then becomes a bigger percentage of our budget and it needs a serious intervention and looking around that. We at Clergy have initiated a COE task team to look at the root causes of this pain, and we will then report back to the Executive Council on that during this financial year. We have actually included some pie charts there. I won't talk to them, but that is showing that the orange is the COE, and as you can see, the one that gets crowded out is our capital or infrastructure spend, and that's a concern to the Executive Council and Clergy. And that's something we need to reverse as we go forward. Then on our transitional contract, just around improving economies of scale, we have awarded a banking service within the province. A new bank has been appointed. And I can report, as you've seen, that we don't need an overdraft facility as we did in the past. And we certainly hope that we'll never need that in the months going forward. We've also then awarded a transitional security contract for the five intervention departments to really work on our economies of scale there. However, we are facing some core challenges around that tender, on the pricing issue that we really negotiated with our contract or our service providers. Other areas being earmarked now is our travel and accommodation. The province, significant amount of our money is spent on travel and accommodation. Although we have issued a cost or if that is the circular, we still feel that there's more that we can do as a treasury around limiting the expenditure on that item. Then, as the province, as I said, in 2012, we issued the austerity circular for instruction, I can say. The National Trade has also subsequently issued a cost containment instruction note 1 of 2014, and we have aligned to that. In fact, some of our, we're more stringent than the National Circular, but we have aligned to the National Circular when it was possible. Then, Chair, if I may just speak to the accruals, I think this is a concern for us, and I think it's been managed quite well. In the past, these are the hidden invoices that don't get paid at year-end. And we've seen 11 and 12, we had the 1.160 billion of accruals. And as I said, if we paid that, we would have gone into overdraft. In 12, 13, it dropped to 691. In 13, 14, it did go up to 1.042 billion. But you'll notice that the increase is around the capital projects, and those are medium-term projects in which we did receive the invoices, and through the intervention we did have a slow initial spending in the Department of COXA and our Department of Roads when the tenders were put on hold, and that spending only then started picking up in the last quarter, and we did not pay all those invoices timelessly. But what's important at the bottom of the slide is to see that those more than 50 days have reduced substantially from the 279 million in 2013 to just over 80 million in 2014. So about a 200 million reduction in the old accruals, if I can call it. So the 962 million are current invoices that would be paid in the April month and forth. So linked to that is our 30-day supply payment, which Tom just touched on. As a province, we did have a challenge, obviously, when the intervention came in. We had to, close the checkbook. And that did have an impact on our service providers initially, where we had to then normalize the cash position before we could pay, really using our suppliers as a cash flow source. And that has been reversed substantially over the last few financial years. In 2013, the average compliance rate for payment within 30 days was 78% in the province, and I'm talking about the number of invoices. In rand values, it was even higher. In 2014, that increased slightly to 80%, and I can report that in June, this improved to 86%. So again, showing that we are definitely taking the payment of our suppliers seriously. As a province, we're not just to accumulate cash in our bank, it's there to deliver services and to pay our providers, provided the invoices are legitimate and services have been delivered. During the 13-14, 8 of our departments averaged above 90% compliance, and that's the table that we'll look at just now. We do have 5 departments that are below the 90%, and the biggest concern is the Department of Health, which is just under 60%. Education has improved significantly, it's over 80% now, but we need to push that up even further. 2 smaller departments, the Department of Sports, Arts and Culture, that have challenges around the sports apparel invoices, but we have addressed that with them, and we will close that gap in the coming months. If you can just quickly move to the table after that. In the table, we're just reflecting the compliance rate month on month for the financial year that's just passed. The blue graph shows the total number of invoices paid after 30 days, and you can see that it's on the decline as we go down the month. The total number of invoices paid is the red, and again, I confirm that we did have a treasury that in March we pushed through a lot of payments, number of invoices almost doubled against any other month, and that was a concern, and we have looked at that to ensure that legitimate invoices were in fact paid. So again, if we compare to the green line, that was the 12-13 compliance, and you will see that our blue bar graph is well below that to show the improvement that has happened. The next slide is just each department specifically, and you'll see, although some departments, and this is for the full financial year, some departments just missed it by 1 or 2 invoices or 5 or so, but you'll see in the middle there, health, education, and even legislature failed us as a province. But I won't talk to that. I think that's 80% compliance that is supposed to be in that slide. See, then on our own revenue, obviously this is an area that we as a province have got control over. As I said, our equal share is on the decline. And through the intervention, we then developed a revenue enhancement strategy. And you will see that our revenue has increased quite substantially over the last three financial years, and in fact, this year it's gone up by 20%. The positive is that we have increased our interest collection due to our positive bank balance, but as I said, that's not something that we budget for, it's not something that we want to really rely on, but it has helped us find certain key quality projects that become during the financial year. So our interest revenue has substantially increased, and in the current financial year, in fact, it almost doubled in the first quarter again. But again, as we say, that's not the business of our provincial service to earn the interest. But we've then funded some projects in health and the Department of Roads and Transport to really increase the revenue collection. We've given money to the Department of Transport to collect money through our post offices. I think it's 50 additional post offices will be added as a revenue collection point for licensing. And the Department of Health will give them money to improve their patient fee collection in terms of just getting additional staff into those areas, and that's already starting to show some positive trends. Chair, in the next slide, just the table, just to show the growth, and as I say, in the 14-15 financial year, we've grown by over 20%. Then on our HR capacitation, our infrastructure, as I reported earlier, this is a big concern for the Executive Council around our infrastructure spend, and as a province we've developed infrastructure hub, which I think the Department of Public Works will touch on in more detail. But as a province we've also allocated additional money to the Department of Public Works to capacitate the professional service providers within the department itself, and the hub concept is really bringing in out and centralizing all infrastructure decision making within this hub. So that has been put in place. This will also be rolled out to our municipalities, including our spending on the LEAP grant, which is also a concern in our municipalities in the province. So then if we can go to slide 39 on our finance system, another challenge that we do have in the province is the lack of an integrated financial management system. We use a system what's known as FINIS, which is really a glorified order printing system. It does not integrate into that. It did originally, but with the standard charter account changes that were made at national, the system became antiquated and did not accommodate the integration into that. However, it does make it possible for us to print electronic orders and for us to at least try and manage that to some extent electronically, but no integration takes place. This concern was raised with the intervention team and through the Chief Administrator, National Treasury, and this gave us permission to implement the logo system, the national system around assets inventory and supply chain. So we're busy in the process of implementing the system. We have, and we do acknowledge that we as a Treasury must have suitable project management skills in the rollout of this project, and we have approached CITES to assist us with this rollout, and that proposal is on our desk as we speak, and we trust that this proposal will now be rolled out in this financial year. We must report, however, that this is a long-term project. It's not something that can happen in one financial year. It'll probably be between 2 and 3 financial years, and we trust that once our commission is in place, that we as a province will then have credible asset registers that could be process into the integrated financial management system. See, another concern that we had was around the supplier database in the province. We had very scattered Excel spreadsheets in our departments, which is open to manipulation and, you know, call it corruption. And we have approached National Treasury to implement a centralized supplier database. We have had a response very recently from National Treasury that we need to discuss this further, due to the IFMH rollout, and we've already got National Credit on that in the coming months. And then around the audit assistance, as you're aware that other departments put under intervention, 3 years disclaimer opinion, And through intervention, a team from CWC Acoma, a consortium, was appointed to assist the department in addressing the audit finding. The audit outcomes did not show positive trend, but we do expect an improved outcome, especially in the Department of Health, by tomorrow when the reports are released. In Treasury, we've seen an improvement. In public works, unfortunately, the audit was delayed for valid reasons. We try and eliminate that disclaimer that audit will be delayed by a few days for the West for that audit outcome. The main factor is really that result in the disclaimed opinion was asset register in particular, and that the finish and the logo system that we implemented. We also, in the meantime, implemented a board system, which is really a scanning system to ensure that we can somehow secure all asset records in one database rather than Excel spreadsheet that's open to manipulation and audit challenges. So then I think the other areas around the municipal support, I know it's not under intervention or municipalities, but it's for clergy where we need to strengthen. And we have put in some mechanisms in place to strengthen our NXMA support team in clergy and also our coordination with the Department of Coxa in that area to improve audit outcomes in the municipalities. Then, Chair, I think the last issue is really around the data integrity, especially around FITAR, or human resources in health and education. A state-to-state project was implemented to perform a census on the learners and educators and the health professionals and health admin staff in the Department of Health. Those reports have just been completed, it's held, I think, last month, and we will now engage with those reports to compare the information to our fiscal database to ensure that we can then locate or identify any ghost threats that may be in the system. Thank you very much, Chair. I'll stop there.
Chair, thank you very much. That position, Chair, was actually outlining the extent to which the oversight treasury function has actually been established in the province today. But of course, it's important to make sure that the IT authority is actually supported and guaranteed so that it can be able to intervene in some other line department that will actually be able to get out of track. Now, in terms of the way forward, the person, the challenges are the least way of just to this them on the way forward. Now, what is needed now is that the agreement between the executive, the national executive and the senior, it needs to be concluded, and that agreement has been given to the senior to actually to consider. The issues that are contained therein is that it's the issue of the disciplinary cases, particularly the senior level, the AOBZ and the senior manager. Now, when it comes to the appointing of key staff, we are actually saying that reasonable progress is important that it needs to be made in that area. Now, there is also work that is being done by the CTO, the Chief Procurement Officer within the Office of within the Treasury, National Treasury. But I think that support is important, that that office should be supported to actually to assist the province to actually introduce those reforms that are required. Now, those deal audits obviously need to be finalized, and then as we indicated, that in the Treasury, the whole of Treasury does need that checking audit to be done, so that also the like the federal code. And the issue around low contract management, as I mentioned earlier on, that they are important, those yield results, if they could actually be concluded, and those record management, make sure that in the future, documents not disappear, that they are kept in the document scheme. Now, the other area on the way forward is as I indicated, that within the Treasury itself, right below the HOD, the HOD who is new in that position, and underneath him, he needs to have competency pools are appointed under Lokin. The three departments, education, health, and public work, there we need to finalize, the organizational structure. Because the current structures in those departments, they make them not to be fair. But of course, the challenge that will be there, which the Honorable Premier undertook that he was able to support the department in the actual placement, right, when that gets to be done in those departments. Now, and this is the part of the litigation about third parties. It's an area that Chairperson needs to develop by the province to respond to and defend itself against those challenges. You heard about the other challenges that are there around the contract, sexual contract. The province is not prepared to defend that. I think it is we think that it is in a strong position to be able to do that. Now, last point that the person was to make there is that there will be a practical handover right, from the intervention. We are suggesting that there will be a high-level workshop or session on the 7th of August to be able to, so that everybody has an attempt, especially what is it that he says should be done or should be done within Section 1A. So there will be that process. In conclusion, we are asking that the committee to note the achievements that are there and challenges that are still outstanding, and after the deliberate on the resolution of the cabinet and based on the letter that was sent to the chairperson of the NPOP, and also that to endorse the recommendations to the transitioning the intervention from section 101B to 1A, which would also include the requirement that the agreement should be signed between the player and the INC, and also endorse the practical handover that needs to happen, and also the members to note that the members of the INC have already signed the agreement themselves. And last point is monitoring. Finally, despite with the key which I've just explained above, that the monitoring and the reporting process that we are actually going to ensue immediately after this affirmation of the time. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Tolman, Mr. Press, Mr. Shishi, also here from the National Treasury, and I believe you will come in the question are posed to the team. Honourable members, Honourable Premier, we recognise the presence of our Honourable Chief Whip of the National Council of Provinces, Dr. Martina, and looking at the home province where she comes from, and also serves as a former NEC. And our waste crush in APAC many years ago, where we served in that structure as well. Just one thing to tie a knot. DHSA was restructured in 2012-2013. There's a pool of expertise somewhere that's no more for DHSA. There must be a list of those people. Financial experts, technical people, you name it. He's somewhere, he's lying somewhere. They are somewhere in the country. And we will have to zoom into that pool. Looking at the Mpopo, but looking at the other eight provinces as well. Just make that side note. On the minute, please let your questions, we will come to question time. We're going to give the opportunity now to hear the president of your possible job. Are there any members here from the provincial legislature of Limpopo? We invite my chairs as well. Chief Whip, welcome. We hope you have a joyful day. And please interact with us as well and make your inputs. Because out of this session today, something we have to seriously engage in. That is the issue of intergovernmental relations and the intergovernmental fiscal relations. Secondly, our role as committees in the HOP and also the role in the provincial legislature referring to those committees. What role? In terms of the constitution, and in terms of the rules of the HOP and the legislature, our oversight rule. On a quarterly basis, on a quarterly basis, looking at common, looking at budget control, and what is happening elsewhere. And that side no help. Are you ready? Yes, sir, you're on my right hand. Step 28, I'm going to use this time until 10 minutes to 11, then we're going to break for tea. And the conference break, come back to the center. Yes, honorable members, yes. Is that okay? You work in your back, you cross it. Presentation. Right, you can start.
Good morning, honorable members. Good morning, Clea. Good morning, Expo. From the Popo, from National President and Administrator. The document I'm presenting is actually part of the previous document that was self-consolidated on the form. So I will do it to the health. Firstly, I'd like to make an apology for the HOD of the Boko Health, who are part of the country at the HIV World Conference. He is represented by Mr. Damien Sidwa, who will do the joint presentation with you. Honourable members, most of the things that I will be saying have already been mentioned by President, so I will avoid the procedure. Where they have already indicated, I will just mention and then pass. Firstly, to indicate the key issues based on the diagnostic analysis, what we found, what was wrong when we arrived in the Department of Health in Bobo in December 2011. I will just listen because most of them probably have already reported on progress levels.
Just on your work, I've seen the little documentation. It's a page 39. The gesture is now on page 39 of the topic. Page 39. Before you go, proceed, please let the member just find the correct page.
I'm going to say.
I'm also, I think last night, then I called my secretary. And he's director. Can we go forward? Members, you fine? Thank you. Proceed.
I'm going to for that. I'm now going to the next slide, which is the diagnostic analysis. We're indicating what we found in December 2011, and we are just listing that there were lack of policies and standard operating procedures for supply chain management. There were a lot of deviations from the supply chain policies, lack of systems and procedures, poor record keeping of major transactions, lack of accountability, poor leadership and management, critical patient codes and fields, specifically in the hospital, the CEO codes, as well as under the CFO's office, poor management of pharmaceuticals and consumables, lack of capacity in key areas, including the risk and financial management, poor control management and authorized expenditure of $340 million at the time, dating back from 2006-07, by the third year. Poor contract management, aged infrastructure and equipment, including boilers and water tanks, and availability of key items and hospitals such as medicine, food, living, security, and living conditions. Then I should realize that both of these programs have already addressed in terms of health. However, I will go into the critical one. In terms of governance and management, Apologies, sir. I don't recognize the next light. The next light should be a test. Have a moment. address the audit photograph findings, particularly those related to food loss and wasteful expenditure, tell abroad and eliminate unauthorized expenditure. The treasury report already indicates the specifics in terms of the health department. I would like to report that we do not have over expenditure for the current financial year under review which is section 14. We have accruals that have been reduced already as indicated by the Mr. Park. And we also unfortunately have other expenses under infrastructure due to contract management issues. It was a specific issue in this regard. There was a service provider whose contract expired some time back and the contract was being renewed continuously. So there was a recommendation that we should not renew the contract further. Unfortunately, there was a litigation around that that delayed the payment of invoices. The matter has been resolved by the court in favor of the Department of Health and the creditor is now being repaired normally. The final recommendation was the effective monitoring of the department to ensure adequate supply of or availability of medicines at the depot as well as food for patients in the hospital. We would like to report, as already indicated by Treasury, that there is improved availability of stock at the depot, and we have details that the acting HOD will actually give details of the percentages and the measures that the intervention has put in place to roll out direct delivery to the hospital so that we eliminate stock out as well as expiry of medicine. At this time, Honorable Member, allow me to hand over to the acting HOD to conclude the presentation.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson.
Acting HOD, how long were you acting? How long are you acting?
I'm dealing with slide 44 and 45. Improved supply chain
standard operating procedures have been approved to guide supply chain practices and supply chain management decision-making have been improved. We have systematically ensured that there are bid committees, specification committees are appointed in time, the bid committee doesn't postpone meetings, and just evidence that we can follow the supply chain management procedures. We've centralized the payment verification process at district and provincial level in order to address the weaknesses identified in the intervention team. Instances of unauthorized expenditure have been significantly reduced, as it was reported by the HOE, provincial treasury, and I think the chief administrator as well. In terms of compensation of employees, Statistics South Africa assisted with the headcount. I think the chief administrator touched on this. Maybe I'll just go to both the chief administrator and HOD, especially in detail. Just in terms of the disciplinary cases, the handling of disciplinary cases is in progress. The details report are available. Just in terms of infrastructure, the Dutch intervention actually arises from a joint meeting convened by the Honorable Premier and the Honorable Minister between themselves and the CEO of hospitals and the executive management of the department. In that meeting, five key strategic interventions were agreed to. One of them is a condition assessment for all health facilities. And that team is backed up by a team of engineers from the National Department of Health. The cross in the provinces to sit during all assessments to determine, for example, which are those facilities that need preventative maintenance, which are those equipment that need repair, which are those that need total replacement. As we see, a total of 30 hospital visits have been assessed out of the 42, and the remaining 12 will be done before the end of the crisis. The full magnitude of the cost of the project will be determined once all the condition assessment of all the hospitals has been concluded. By then, I think the executive, the HOD, the MEC, will actually advise us to how to take the process forward in terms of what needs to be funded, how the funding shortfall, where do we need to be based out, and so on. Just in terms of the pharmaceutical supply, I think the health administrator has touched on that. We have put together two strategic interventions. One is what we call the surveillance, availability surveillance, where we have trained districts from a pharmacist, facility pharmacist, that they follow a certain rigorous reporting process on a weekly basis. They report to the chief director responsible for this area. And the chief director came to the HOD formulation meeting on a weekly basis to report. So that report gives us warning system in which areas we do okay, which areas are flaring up or red flags and so on and so on, so that we can be able to intervene in time standards. The second intervention is that of driven by the insurance department, which is direct delivery. Direct delivery actually from suppliers direct to hospitals. In our case, it's mainly colloquial hospitals and Mankwe, which are taken to take where the pilot has been conducted. The mission of that group is to make sure that there are no blockages within the delivery of both distribution and supply of this item. There are no delays. So the surveillance system, the reporting system, and all the direct system have actually accounted to a significant improvement. When we started, as the chief administrative indicated as well, when we started, we were at 48%. That was an average between the depot, the hospital, and the primary care facility. That was another 48%, which was very dismal. So to have moved from 48% to 86% of availability of pharmaceutical supply and 52% of surgical supply, within the significant improvement. The reason why I'm still sitting at 52% for surgical is that up until recently we've been using transversal tender submission of funds. But increasingly it's becoming clear that we need to have our own in-house tender field, particularly political. This would refer to items such as labs, tubes, switches, and so on. So we still need to improve, probably go beyond regular testing, beyond two tests. But as we speak today, a process has been advanced. The process to conclude a provincial tender for physical supply is at an advanced stage. What is also given is whether that extra vaccine, we are 100%. All the 12 vaccines, types of vaccines, are available. So we are 100%. Next slide. Just in terms of unintended consequences, we know to wind around our villages, the screener cases, that the majority of those that are implicated are still in their positions because we haven't completed the investigation. I think that is the last slide.
Thank you, honorable members. We will stop there as well, except to confirm, honorable members, that the department is ready to manage the report.
Thank you for that presentation of the honorable members. We're going to extend the proceedings now for a tea break, and we might be back at 10 minutes. 10 to 11, 10 minutes past 11, which is 20 minutes right. We are 73 people in this room. Yourself with me, and the refreshment. I'll see you at 10 minutes past 11, back in your seat. Thank you.
Thank you.
What I want to know is that, you know, are we not letting people attached in there? Those people who are attached in this mess, are they no longer there in this team? So that, you know, we start on the clean sheet. That's my question. Thank you.
It was part of the intervention first to clean up. But the other spreader can elaborate on that. On Brother Kawula.
Thanks to the honorable premier and the delegation for the presentation. My name is Ndomse Kaule, member of the NPOC. Looks like Big Ten is very popular. I'm also very excited about the chapter on the issue of disability. I would like to know, in respect of the five affected departments, the accounting officers, because I want to believe that they are the people who were responsible for accounting or whatever activities were happening in their department. I'm not necessarily interested in their production or if the accounting officers have a house there, whatever. I'm part of the disciplinary activities that have been defended. So secondly, there are officials who are reported to be resigning. What steps are being taken in terms of being those who are resigning? They may be resigning from government, but they still remain citizens of the country, and they still have to account in cases where something has to be secured upon them. Is that happening? And lastly, the person, the health report talks about a lot of issues, but I'm only interested in the issue of policies, lack of policies, and SOC for SPM has that been pointed out, because the lady was not especially treated the same. Policies were not the policies about them. As a matter of fact.
On the
panel,
thank you, Stevenson. It looks as though he's running the bank, and that's always a good sign. Because it gives you a good cash flow, but
it must be said wise.
Exactly. The fact that it's there doesn't mean it can be blown. And this is my concern, because do we have this gentle baby now, and do we have the capacity to do and execute and manage it the way it should be managed? I'm wondering whether we have executed all the steps from the Auditor General's report from 2011-12 and 12-13 to get to where we want to be in 2013-14. I believe some of the audit reports are coming up, good noises are being made, but of course the proof of the pudding is in the eating. So I don't think we must take any rash decisions yet today until we've seen the final audit report. I concur with my colleagues on the non-compliance of the FMA, and whether the departments actually still have the capacity now to do what they need to do, because it is a concern of the administrator that the capacity is not there. So I don't know, there are no clear indications how that will be addressed. The staff resignations and interventions and investigations, dismissals, only one has been prosecuted. That's not good enough, because the people are staying in the system, and they will be redeployed somewhere else if we know what happens in South Africa. Then the supply chain management staff in the CEO's office is not good. I think the CEO spoke about a fast team in Flight 26. I hope it is an intergovernmental staff team that will take responsibility for but the work that they must do, that it's not a staff team only in the Premier's office perhaps and the CFO. And then when it comes to the Department of Health, I'm really concerned. Those figures are amazing, and I think it's in that department that there were encouraging noises made about a clean audit coming. It's not that easy to come from a disclaimer into a clean audit. And I tell you, if you look at the one page that you were viewing, it shows 40 pages that were different in the presentation on our document, page 42. The total hospital assessment were 18 out of 42, and overnight increased from 30 from 18 to 30 out of 42. I don't know if it's late reporting, I don't know if it's whitewashing, but I'm very concerned. And when it comes to surgical supply, a 62% availability is still very critically low because it can still cause big drama when you look at it. It is up, but it's not where it's supposed to be. So I believe there's a lot still to be done. Thank you, sir.
I can assure honourable members, in each province of the nine, there's lots to be done. The body is 100% compliant. I refer honourable members to the AC's report of the past couple of years. And we will get the NCOP presentation by the Auditor General on the latest outcomes on the provincial and other departments, as well as the financial report which was released this morning, on the news. So you will read about that tomorrow in the press. But we will physically engage as NCOP with the Auditor General. This session is coming, and the program work will see and the chief work where we can fit that in. Also, what's important for the members is the last two pages of the presentation by Mr. Thomas. The conditions set to go from a section 101B to a section 101A, there are conditions. And if you look at our report of 18 November 2007, the one that was 80 feet as a comparison, just here, that in mind as well, on the local line.
Thanks, I would like to note that what our program support has been presented to me and our case may be just in two or three areas. The first one is the cost area, which like from the political leadership of the province. The National Development Plan converses an idea of the technical ability of the state much more prominent. And that the civil service should be so confident that it is able to drive the policy direction in its environment. So, what are the important lessons from the intervention that could be shared with us? That's the first one. And the second one would be an area yet to which border on the supply chain. More often when issues of supply chain are raised, that they are shortcomings on the supply chain or number of related problems is when there is in regard for the legislation. So maybe you can benefit the nature of shortcomings that are raised now. They give us a level when the intervention was implemented. The last one is the issue that I declined. How far is the process regarding the memorandum of understanding? My view is that it's highly important one, and the issue will also give away some exception that the problem is not resolved. That's so much that the problem is ready to get entry in the memorandum of understanding to manage the transitional period of time.
Thank you, and then, that's right, Mr. Tom. Slide 44 of your presentation, data integrity, to refer to SSA is not able to release the database data information for use for the analysis. Why can't they release it? And what is done about it? What will come in?
Oh, thank you very much, Chair. My greetings to the Senior and the team. Maybe just to welcome and appreciate all of the team, the good work together with the team of administrators that has been done so far in terms of turning around the situation of the COVID. I really appreciate but just want to check the role of the MAD on term evaluation. I'm not sure whether it is in the Office of the Premier or in another department, but I'm just referring to the AMP of the province in terms of assisting moving forward after this intervention so that we can avoid the state rights of the province. I also, on page 34, if it's not page 10 for me, the issue of the electronic system. Want to check if the department does have a tracking system, or project now. Because for me, having money in the bank, I don't know if other members I can hear that they appreciate that at least there's money in the bank. For me, I'm not sure because we are not government, not in, not just when money is in the bank. I'm not sure whether it is not then we are not spending. Because when government allocates money, that money is earmarked for certain projects. If you look at the report of the Department of Health, capital projects indicating an understanding, it could be because money was not spent, that is why we have so much surplus money. For my side, we shouldn't be so much happy because our people need services out there. Just checking that, do we have a tracking system that is interface with people so that we know when money is paid, it's paid to the correct project. I don't know whether the implementation of the lobbyist is trying to do that. In our challenges are another lobbyist. But if that is the aim, it will achieve so that even when money is spent, it's spent to the correct project where it is earmarked to. I'm not clear about the issue regarding AG. We're supposed to be getting clean audit. Not the choice. We are supposed to be getting clean audit this financial year, 2014. I would want to know the clear statement, where are we in terms of security? Especially the Department of Health, I'm more on the Department of Health. Where are we in terms of the clean audit? We know that we'll be taking the announcement tomorrow, but at least we do have an idea of the department, because there are interactions between departments and the agency. Before we announce, at least we know where you stand with the department. Where are we? The presentation as it says for me is quiet. It doesn't give us a clear data of where we stand in terms of aging. But also share what makes me a little bit uncomfortable. I don't feel that we might be late as a colleague to take over, but in terms of the presentation, there is no difficult thing that you can take that the department is ready to take over. That is the truth between one or two from the department to say, we are ending the intervention. These are the plans in place as the department to take over from the intervention. Maybe it could be clarified to the extent of or state of readiness as a department so that we are all comfortable that when the intervention is finally handed over to the department or the province, we can let them say, yes, the department is ready. Thank you, Chairperson. I would like to echo the sentiment of my other colleagues and other members in saying that I should welcome the presentation. It has brought back hope to us. Because when this session, when the president subjected this session, we were all very worried about it, but there is hope. Because the presentation points to the fact that things are much better than what they were before. However, my vision is based on page 10 of the presentation. I see that the officials have been seen, and some of them have actually resigned. I just want to check if, in the process of doing this, they're going to pay back to government.
what they say for them. Because they can leave, okay, but are they bringing them to take care of them where they are obviously have been guilty of siphoning from government coffers? The other point that I wanted to make is with regards to the presentation again as to, I don't want to sound as though I'm saying the presentation is an accurate or unfortunate, but I just wanted to check if this committee of this system were to go to Europe, where are we going to confirm that the situation is really as it presented to us today? I'd like to check on it. In that, has the province been able to employ competent officials to do the job or implement the policy? The last question is, or the last remark to make is, it might appear minor, but to me it raises a question. When you prepare for anything this important, I'm now addressing the administration. I think you ensure that the documentation is properly processed, properly bound, with all the information there. So I'll come to the administration that was actually the political operation of this meeting, as to say that next time around, they need to do their job properly. It might sound minor, but to me, it was a bit of an embarrassment. The inability to bind documents properly and supply all the information that is needed for a meeting as an employer. Thank you.
Any other member that wants to pose a question on both from Brandis?
Use
the mic.
You've seen Lampopo. You said here that the lack of an integrated council system in Popola has been identified as a major risk, which led to improper reporting on commitments, accruals, and maintenance of assets. If you look here also on page 42, it says the main conflicting factors in this payment and qualified orders between them are the inner budget to provide a credible asset register and does the complete and accurate. Now we see here on page 40, the statement that then two are placed in. In a 3-year project, that's my question. Is it going to be for all the departments working 3 years? And the second question is, when are they starting to roll out this logistics system to the rate of energy of energy cash? What is the date of that?
I am reading to you out of the Constitution, Section 101A. When the province cannot or does not fulfill an executive obligation in terms of legislation or the constitution, the national executive may intervene by taking any appropriate steps to ensure fulfillment of that obligation, including issuing a directive to the provincial executive describing the extent of the failure to fulfill its obligation, and taking any steps required to meet its obligations. You must be very clear on what the Constitution says in terms of Section 101A. Honourable Premier, you can start with the reply, and then as the presentations were made subsequent, the administrators be seconded.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson. Honourable Member. Most of the questions were directed to the administrators, and I'm going to leave them to Mr. Tong and the administrators. But there are some questions were directed to the political authorities in the program. One is the issue on the technical ability of the state. And I think I totally agree with the honorable member that you can't honestly say you are at the developmental stage if you don't develop the kind of technical ability of the stage. You need to have a stage that has operational efficiency. You need to have a stage that has the political will to then roll out a program of the technical ability. So the technical ability is very beneficial in a certain extent, I agree. Yes, I would say to a large extent, the component, the technical issues. Almost all these issues that have been discussed here, they were done through the technical capacity of the state that exists on the ground. You take, for example, the department that the transport airplane. In the day, the administrators were actually just redirecting them. You take Treasury, for example. The head of Treasury is actually the chief managing authority currently, and he is the family appointed as the head of Treasury in the country. And some as well have been appointed already. So as a result, I would say that technical capacity is indeed there. So I don't think there is any government department there, including the international world. You don't have that absolute technical capacity. Because the state in the economy that is dominant today will always have that rival, it will always compete with the private sector for the best deal. But it's critical that you must have that tradition. I totally agree with you. And I think to a large extent, yes, we can do lessons learned. We have learned very serious and important lessons in this problem. That the absolute disregard of law cannot be changed in any, should not be allowed even in any government. Two, we have learned that you need specific systems to run government departments. You must have the right systems and be certain that you got the right systems. Systems should always have the dashboard, and you need the dashboard, and tell you when the food is about to finish, not when the food is already finished and you are in the step from forward. Those are the kinds of lessons that I think we can. Yes, coming to the issue of the memorandum of agreement. We couldn't sign the memorandum of agreement day before yesterday when we met with the minister and the IMC because we were seeing it for the first time. And we were saying that we needed to go through it, apply our minds to it, and then we'll talk to the minister and find it during the course of the week. At 9 months Friday, and we feel that we will be in the position to can make it within the deadline. For Friday this week, depending on the speech of the minister, we will be able to sign the memorandum of agreement. I have a colleague here, Hakim Mushanuri. So his colleagues feel that he can respond to some of the honorable MPs. Honorable MPs, you are. You are welcome to your school. Thank you, Honorable Chairman.
Thank you, Honorable Premier.
Thank you very much, Chairperson and members of the Select Committee. I think that's one point, as Honorable Premier was saying, about the lessons, because for the first time, I think, since 1994, that the National Executive intervened in such a youth way in a province. Implementing section 101G in 5 departments of the provincial government. And therefore, there are lessons, progresses, which I have mentioned over and above what the Honorable the Premier said, is that in that specific section, the Constitution section under, the Constitution says there shall be national legislation that governs how a section 100 is implemented. And since 1996, we have not come up with
national legislation other than constitution that outlines the difficulty of the implementation of the Section 100 particular one. But one of the reasons is that that comes from the management issue of legislation is that the organizations are members of the executive and the MEC. And in terms of 1B, it says the executive authority of the province in that department is no longer the NGS commissioner. So when you have a person, it's an MEC by title, actually, because the executive authority in that department should be exercised by the minister, relevant minister, national. So what does the MEC do? So the MEC doesn't have the other representative to be executive authority of that specific body. But in this case, actually, he can sign, he or she can sign last week, can make the decisions identified. But also, the, in the constitution, the section that issues provinces gives the authority, the executive authority of the province to the freedom of the province to appoint members of the executive council. So you see there, Mainland says, section 100 says the executive authority goes up to national, but the other section says, the executive authority of a province rests in the premier of the province, and the premier exercises that executive authority by appointing other members of the provincial legislature to serve as members of the executive. So you have chapters from the 11th year that that issue of having a national legislation that helps to deal with the implementation of a Section 100 and is able to clarify the role of the ministry vis-à-vis the minister, the head of department,
that's the writing of those regulations is now in question. That's why the problem of the issue of this committee on public administration but connecting up with the Department of Cooperative Government to do it together and then bring it to Parliament where it will serve in front of those committees. But we were in the act that was mentioned on section 103, referring to those regulations.
Thank you very much. My name is Alan, and I'm the chief whip of open legislation. I also want to confirm what the Honorable Premier just said. That given the situation as it is now in the history of where we come from, I don't know that many of us were in the province and we knew that was happening. We believe that now is the time for the province to lead in many powers for the province and the executive to be able to respond the methods of by the government of the province of Sekompo. Another fact that what we learned is that over time should be done by those who are deemed independent and able to really exercise over that the legislation by the government. And our understanding is that the legislature is really ready now as well to make sure that there is serious oversight on the part of us and not necessarily just to overlook things and things go out of the way in front of us. So such a situation will never be allowed. You know what was happening. Many of you know what was happening. And I think now the situation has calmed down. We have been questioning the issue for some of other members of the legislature. And we saw it come. And it was not a mistake that we have the information. And it's also not a mistake that now the government is deciding to say the election must go because we believe that the atmosphere is conducive for the public to run all sense. So we confirm from the legislative point of view that we believe in the leadership that is there now, that they can be able to accept their role as the government. And the fact that even the very same document that was read in front of us, I would also like to comment on that because it was read in front of us, actually indicates the way forward. If you look at the last page, it answers all the questions asked. Six, maybe the last 748. On the way forward, I can just look at Crete. Briefly, the other key deliverables by the conference that form part of the memorandum of understanding include. It does answer everything. So the lack of capacity will never happen, will always be there if there is no authority to the problem to make sure that they do some of the challenges. The memorandum of understanding will deal with the issue of staffing, will deal with the issue of giving people the right. You know, power to take decisions, and they are accountable, and it should not also take long, because to appoint someone, you want a concurrent here, all those other things, it's going to take longer. So
So the longer we don't decide on this, might end up taking much to have this problem for a long time. So we appreciate this, and on the, from the side of the legislation, we believe that the decisions that have been taken correct, the problem should be given the range to other problems. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chief Webb. Thank you, Tom. Mother Jane and Mr. Shishi, you are sitting there as a chief guest.
Just have that in the I'll what I would assume by the time week. The third then we probably deal with some of the questions and I'll set up that I want to come at the end when they're answered the time to this.
Yeah.
Thank you, Chair, thank you, honorable members. In listening to the comments and the questions and the concerns raised, one understands that while the honorable members are acknowledged that progress has been made, that financial performance has been stagnated, but there are concerns around sustainability. And this arises from concern around, three things perhaps, around whether the people that were involved in fraud and corruption and maybe saw that the system collapsed, whether they are still in place. And what are the measures to make sure that that happens? And the issues of skills and capacity and the systems that run. I think what I want just to comment is to say that indeed we have made progress, and indeed there are still concerns about the different things that need to continue. And I think when you talk about the people that leave the government while under different issues, I think that should go the challenge is to follow them through, but if they are under criminal case, if it's a criminal case, they will not be able to escape whether they are going to still continue to escape and take their cost. I think what is important, which is cutting at all, was concerned about these very issues of whether we've got skills in all the places, we've got critical skills in management places, and deal with this criminal case. I think that was one of the reasons why the decision was don't exit completely, let there be transition. And this was based on the fact that there is a new leadership now, the leadership that has had time to understand the challenges, to also have led to the intervention, to also understand what measures that need to be taken to make sure that we sustain the intervention. That is committed to team governance, that is committed to ensuring that the province remains in sound footing. You know, they always say everything rises and falls on leadership. So I think the second thing was that new leadership that is committed, I think is quite key to ensuring that now this leadership can now begin to take the reins and make sure that with the partnership and the support of the national government through the Section 1A, that they can begin now to place the government in a much more sustainable footing by addressing some of those areas that we have identified. And I must say that once they do that, actually to really put the focus on how much ahead of many other provinces that are tackling some of these issues that are going forward. So I think that's just really the comment that I wanted to make, it just is in response to this concern about whether they are doing the right thing or not.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I'm the Commissioner of the National Treasury. I think just on the questions that have been asked, just to go through, I've picked some of them, because some of the questions will be difficult for us to answer, particularly when it comes to things like criminal cases in detail, that would have to be done in the anti-corruption charges.
We're going to call the ACGC and the
thank you, Chair. I also just want to say that in looking at some of the specific questions and some of the issues, it's important to understand our strategic focus in terms of the way we brief cabinet and interministerial committee. Because the perspective is that a number of the problems in the Bulls are not unique to the Bulls. They happen not just in other provinces, but they actually even happen in a number of national departments as well. Well, one has to be careful that when you're thinking about whether or not an intervention should be placed or not being placed, it should be about saying, are we sufficiently satisfied that the trend in terms of program is such that you can make a decision? Because let's just say that it must be absolutely perfect. I said you have to put all provinces under administration, which might be difficult. But on the...
What's
that mean?
No, let's not go there. We start from the reform for now, not the general community. And that is a different attitude. We're just trying to, let's focus in the reform for now. We did not say that these things are not going to be other successes or problems. But for now, this is about the reform.
Correct. Thank you, Mr. Shishi. Thank you, Mr. Chair. My apologies for that, I'll focus on those three. Firstly, on the question of the implementation of LOTUS, currently there is a plan to implement LOTUS, and we've actually received quite a detailed plan between ourselves and CETA, and so within that 3-year period, it will be rolled out across all of us. So that is indeed the plan to have it across all the departments in the public. With respect to the issue of whether or not the cash or money management is now sufficient going forward to prevent any abuse of money, I'm afraid that I am going to have to say that to make a comparative statement again, I won't be able to avoid it because as the HOE pointed out, currently the Volvo has 2 payment runs per month. This is very, very tight. In fact, it is quite tight again compared to the rest of the country. So we think that the measure of tightening the payment runs and making sure that the disbursements are controlled in the way that they're controlled means 2 things. The first thing that it means is that the provincial treasury and departments have enough time to reconcile all of the orders to the invoices to the payments. In other words, you can follow both the procurement of the service to the delivery of the service to the request to pay for the service because you've got the time to be able to do it instead of paying too quickly. And particularly in the context of not having implemented certain systems yet, that's very, very important. So the right decision has been taken to reduce the number of payment runs in that particular context. And that, we believe, should help make sure that we don't have those abuses because there aren't as many opportunities to abuse things as there were in the past. There's another question about the PARC team. Indeed, as I think we alluded to in the last slide of Mr. Tom's presentation, there will be a PARC team formulated, it will be an intergovernmental PARC team. And that is the purpose of the meeting on the 7th of August, which is going to constitute that team. Of course, we'll be able to give feedback to the Secretary who's there. But what we've already decided is that the team must, of course, contain the relevant elements both from the province as well as from national to assist, oversee, and monitor the specific issues that are raised. On the question of the money in the bank and whether this was not just because of underspending, to some extent it is true that of course when you understand you end up with a surplus in the bank, and I think both the HOD and the Premier alluded to the fact that particularly when it comes to infrastructure we had to improve spending which was very, very low in the last couple of years. So for sure, underspending is an issue to that. However, it is also not important to know that it's not just the underspending, it is definitely because of their cash management. If you take, for instance, the point that was made earlier about the money that were taken and reallocated in terms of dollar, the provision of an act, as a result of spending on provisional class of infrastructure, it's interesting to note that even after that money was taken, the Bobo still had cash in its bank account. So the combination of the two. But for sure, underspending has been a problem, and there needs to be quite a bit of work to continue to make sure that underspending is dealt with. And then finally, Chairperson, the last question on the issue of the lack of integrated information accounting system in asset register. I think that will be dealt with, particularly in the presentation by, especially on the added register by Public Works, I believe, because that's where a lot of the issue in terms of the advocacy problems are concerned. I think I will not steal their time and allow them the opportunity to talk to them when they have a shot. Thank you, Chief.
The National Treasury is represented in the anti-corruption task force. So actually, you should have been in a position on the Treasury side to make that input as well. If you can't do it, then you have to forward a prepared document that I notice you have. Are we going to education?
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson, Honorable Premier, and Honorable Members of the Provincial Legislature, and Honorable Members of Parliament, the colleagues, and officials and authorities. Chair, I just wanted to contextualize what is put here as an under expenditure. There may be two forms to that. Maybe share under expenditure because of the slow implementation of programs, or it may be perceived to be under expenditure while it's savings because of the measures, austerity measures that have been implemented. So it's a combination of those two things. So there are radical austerity measures that are determined by the government itself, and radical austerity measures that are literally directed by the national treasury that all counties are bound to implement. So it's those two factors. Like in our case, education, in the majority of cases, what may appear as under expenditure is actually savings, and there's a proposal on the table for the committee to consider. Thank you, Chair.
Mr. Long, any addition?
Thank you very much, Chair. Can I just make this point, especially actually, thank you, that the COVID indeed is better than it was at the time that we found it. And the research, Chair, will also confirm that the period of recovery in such cases, it will only be more or less in the period of the time. If you look at the time that the COVID-19 has been in the global trade, almost 2.5 years, you can take that at the time. And these problems, they don't just happen, but it takes time, even when it is handed over. If there are to be any failures, they will take that. Now that's why it's a point that is important that needs to be considered. Can I just come to the point where we deal with the disciplinary cases? Right. Indeed, I want to make a point, and the cases that we have focused in are the fraud and corruption cases. Now, the question there is, are these numbers that are reported only number? The answer is no. Right. You will find that in the Department of Education for fraud and corruption, they were putting 14 cases. In the Department of Health, there were 12 cases. In Public Works, there are 10 cases. In the Department of Ofsta, sometimes people, they ask the question, why is it called Ofsta? Ofsta came in because the Treasury has got a responsibility to oversight, to take intervention where there are irregularities. That's how the COXA came in. And that's why we also report for it. Now, there were 12 cases, there were 12 cases there. Now, the cases that are remaining, we did report that yes, we acknowledge that they have been changed. Right. And at the moment, we have put in place a mechanism, project management, which is actually checking and making sure that these processes happen. Remember, if I could just take you back to the person, one of the delays that happen around the disciplinary cases is the fact that the initiator, by law, they need to be officials of the government. And these initiators, they want a collusion between the initiators and those people who are actually start. Because they fall under the same union.
we then, when we pick this thing up, because the initiators were either not honoring the process of discipline, or if they do, they then simply undermine that process, and people will then not each, the process will not let be honored properly. Right? You could see that this process is divided. Now, we had to find a different approach of actually getting initiators outside the problem, not to be people who are inside there. Right. And at this point in time, the framework, the system that is put in place, which we shall discuss at the time of handing over, the trust with the Office of the Premier to say how this case should be taken forward. Right. Now, we believe that that system should be able to deal with all these cases. But of course, to conclude these cases is something that is not easy, because people, they must have got the right to defend themselves, they've got the right to get the best defense, right, organize the best defense. And then in that way, right, they take time. Hence we are asking, we'll be asking the government to make sure that process, right, it must be ring-fenced and make sure that the outcome of it is something which is not managed, is something that will actually yield results. Right. So, in that area, we believe that there should be a progress. Now, the HOD, question is, are coming officers, how many are coming officers are there in that case? Now, if you take the office, they are accounting officers. In the trend that is, the surprise is new. He was not there. Right. So, you don't have a close to that. In the help, the HOD there is new, and so it's not a close to that. Now, but when it comes to education, right, that case is a case of an HOD, that case it must be full of school. Right. That case in the case in the Department of Public Works, there again we charge the HOD, and the HOD has been charged there, and that case it should be full of school.
Right.
In the Department of Costa, which presided over those problems that I recall that. It's another thing to deal that way. Now, you know, in health, honorable member, right, you have to deal with not get a technology. But if you look at the difficulties that were there, structural problems, right? Now, when it comes to structuralizing clinics, now, what in health, one of the biggest problems was the question of removable assets, which were not able to be accounted for. Remember, like in health, they would be in the district. They would be in the institution. Now, that problem was a serious problem. But at this activity now, that problem has been addressed. That problem has been addressed. But the problem that is still will remain there, and the treasurer working with the officers, working with the department, is the issue of what is called revenue and receivables. In other words, the fees that are paid in hospitals, they must be accounted for, right? But it's just like the system that is there, that is inherited. It's a system which is not able to support the department. And we have actually asked that must actually relook at the view, right, and that system, replace it, or find an alternative to it. Now, but the amount of work that has been done, yes, believe me, you mean when I say there's a lot of work that has been done there. Now, what are these problems that are the shortcomings? The shortcomings there, right, it was the issue of the, and the, why there was no compliance with the TFNA. Now, the problem there was this question of many runs, 8 runs, that were being made a month, right? That was delivered. That was delivered. That was actually meant that people, they wanted to make sure that payments are made very quickly, right? And that actually contravenes the legislation. The legislation said that should be actually 2 months. Now, that is correct. Now, the other problem that is there, right, which is a shortcoming, is the issue of how the committee themselves, they actually, when they sit,
them to complete every outcome. How to what is it that you wanted to address? And calling that to start between those people meeting and house and the people or leaders in that sense. That was the biggest problem that we had. Just as we suppose that has been done. Just as a let me see the data and see the question for data. But however, themselves, they were reluctant to actually look into that data. Simply on the basis that their own legislation would not be able to allow us to have details about individuals that they actually interviewed. And ourselves, we wanted to get to that point of specifics because we wanted to deal with the head, wanted to deal with the problem of staff. If you say you went to a particular school, right, who did you come there specifically? And their decision could not allow them to do that. But through interaction with them, they actually ultimately they gave us that. If you were to go to the COPO, well, remember, right? The points that were raised are short. Those can be verified, right? But the thing that we're not able to say to consent to say is to say the system effort. But you will still find there are challenges. Right? But the question will always be how they are managed. And some of the things that we say, those problematic challenges are the ones that we are outlined in the MOU that clearly have to have produced that we decide. So that one will be some of the things that will actually improve our business. The low is in the finished. Right? The low is, it's not a better system. Right? It's not a better system. However, it's better than what we found. Right? That finish is great. Right? It's better than that. Right? Because it will address the issue of the assets. Remember what I just said, right? In health, the biggest problem was movable assets. But if at this point in time, there will be commitment. We'll be able to cut up all the assets, right? That was actually at this point in time dealt with and put into the loan. Right, and which is something that was worth saying. And you said there may be something that is out or something
like that. Thank you,
Honorable Member. Thank you, Chairperson. Firstly, I'd like to explain the reason why the presentation from health is so brief. Honourable Chairperson, the approach you took was based on the invitation, which says, progress made since the last engagement. So we premise our presentation on progress. I apologize for the fact that I did not go back to give the full context, which may not because we based it on the report of the state committee that was dated the 13th of November 2017. Having said that, I will go straight into responding to the specific question, and I am with the acting HOD and she will ask me where I don't have information, she will ask me with that information. Honourable Chair, can I confirm, Honourable Members, can I confirm that indeed the financial management in the Department of Health has improved? There were 7 qualification areas in the financial year 2018. And I can quickly just list them. Asset management commitments, which are unqualified, asset management has been qualified, unqualified, commitment unqualified, irregular expenditure unqualified, projects and waste unqualified, unauthorized expenditure unqualified, and limitation of hope. The only remaining members of qualified are here, which is qualified just yet, is receivable, and that is the one that Ms. Tom has answered to, and directly related to the billing system in terms of how we collect patient fees at hospital level. we have an old system, old infrastructure, and as Mr. Tom says, we are in the process of reviewing that system so that it can be much better for mine. So that is the only matter that is outstanding in terms of qualification for us to move towards the clean water. Yes, we do have matters of interest, and they have been displayed. I won't be saying, because as I said, the final audit report will be part of that. So that is all the specifics regarding improvement for health. Honorable Member, the chair of our portfolio committee, the fact that we did not give a detailed way forward or plan for how do we move to Section 1A is because it is until the memorandum of understanding, it is in detail. We have 14 items in the memorandum of understanding in terms of action and concept that the Department of Health has came to during the transition session. I will go to the other question. In terms of, the comment already indicated in terms of the leadership, in terms of HOT. However, over the half there, when we arrived, we found that there was a vehicle at the level of the EDG, not chief director. The chief director of supply chain was appointed. So there were no chief directors, other than that, there were two vacant posts for the chief director for budget and accounting. And then from there, there was just director for finance. There was no appropriate finance, asset manager, director. It was jumbled, it was not qualified in asset management, it was managing and all that. So we reset the capacity in the office of the CFO. We appointed two chief directors, one of whom has been acting as CFO and is largely responsible for this turnaround, including the capacity that was available to them from the PWC, the commercial consultant, to the department. So we are at this stage confident that the capacity that we are using in the department in terms of financial management is adequate, safe to say, we still need to address the issues related to supply chain, because that could still have problems as a whole needs to be revised. When it comes to the issue of standard operating procedure, yes, ma'am, I would like to confirm that we have a document that was prepared through the PWC Rapoma intervention that has been circulated to all accounting officers, which is a checklist of standard operating procedures for what is it that they need to do. So they have a step-by-step guidance that they must rely on and implement. And that will be part of our responsibility to ensure and monitor that they comply with that. When we address the only findings of qualities and progress, including the non-compliance with the FSMA, I will ask the HOD to respond to the issue related to the question related to the assessment of health facilities. And yes, I've already addressed the issue of how are we intending to move to the game audit and the tangible gains that are in place already. Yes, I think I will stop there and ask the issue to respond to the issue of the assessment. Thank you, Honorable Chair.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and Madam Minister of Health. There's a question around why the change of hospitals that have been done, conditions assessment from 18 to 30. If I can just explain that, the main target was to do all the facilities by end of July. Now, at the time we first drafted the report for the premium, which was a week ago, the number that was done, it was 18. Like I indicated today, that there are teams that are consulting the problem during all the hospitals. So, almost every day one could say that never changes. To move as an attempt to move towards doing everybody, all the hospitals by the end of this week. So Monday, the 30 figure that has been mentioned now, is the figure that was there on Monday. But in all our reports, when we reported about 18 and reported about 30, we've always been consistent that the main target is to do every hospital at the end of this week. So we want to propose that the single case is reliable and authentic. Once I'm on the floor, if I could get the permission of the administrator and also the owners of the to be, maybe first develop this question around policies that we work with. One of the things we are doing is to look at long-term health plans. Both the Honorable Ministry for Health and Honorable Premier support the movement towards the health family sometime into this financial year. That will enable us to really conduct a technically sound long-term plan beyond any performance plan. As Honorable Members will be aware, the ATC doesn't adequately allow you to project and forecast certain types of resources. In the health sector, between national and province, there's a general consensus that there are certain resources that when you do planning, make sure you need to engage in 10 years or beyond that kind of a plan. Once then, the 3 years, you take the plan for health. So that's something to respond to the Premier and the Minister's request. We have formulated technical working that are doing a lot of technical work to ensure that as a fund, we can actually build in a very sort of technical way as to key areas of health planning, such as, for example, workforce planning. That is based on the kind of disease. How many pediatricians do you have? How many categories of nurses for that in 10 years to 20 years? What is the base configuration for hospitals? In that kind of long horizon, health plan, and so on and so on. So these technical things are doing well, and we are very excited that coming to summit will be changing that summit. Very concrete proposals that will also help us. So we are very supportive of the intervention so far, but we also added that in order to deal with, to make sure that we don't regret with the fundamental questions about, the resources, infrastructure, how many cases, how many community health centers you need based on what, those kind of things. So those are going to be evident and technical with you, whatever we put on the table to support our local planning going forward. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable. One last issue that I forgot to mention in terms of concrete evidence of improvement in financial management is the accrual that Governor Mr. Park reported. For health in particular, because that's one of the issues that used to affect the department negatively. There's a decrease in a trend from the financial year 2011-12, as reported, we were sitting at 506 million of accrual. 2012, it was reduced to 365 million, and for the prior year, 2013-14, we are sitting at 239 million. Yes, we agree. That we still have problems with paying our creditors in 30 days as reported. That was largely based on the turnaround time in terms of repairing invoices back for correction or voucher for correction. But that process has now been decentralized because we were verifying payments at the provincial level in a centralized manner. So starting from May, we have decentralized that process. So that verification of payment is done at district level to ensure compliance with the legislation with PSMA. So we are of the view that the turnaround time will be largely reduced and the percentage will increase in terms of our payment for the today. Payment of credit card payment. Thank you, Honorable.
Thank you for the responses. Honorable members, are there any follow-ups? We've got very well in our time frame. If not, I'm not going to push you for questions. In fact, the theme for this presentation is the Honorable Premier, Mr. Thompson, and the administrator from health. After lunch, we will take education, public work, and roads and transport, and proceed with the we will adjourn for lunch break. It will be at this end. Yeah, on the second floor. Select the lady just required if they are ready. And be back, Honorable members, Mrs. Tush, we'll be back. back and qualified 1:13:15. Let me see how we get to sleep in the afternoon. Thank you. Enjoy your lunch. The meeting is at 7:30.